Welcome to Breaking Barriers. You know your path. We know the obstacles. And we can teach you how to tear them down. And now your host, CEO and founder of Adapting Social, John Vigero.
So, all right, let's dive in here. So, first and foremost, guys, welcome back to Breaking Barriers. This is very conversational. So, if you're going in on something, I'm going to like push you in certain areas about like just entrepreneurship stuff, right?
Okay.
And if you're going in on something and like you're really like ranting, not that you would do that, but if you did,
oh, I could very easily do that.
Okay. So, like, if you want to look into people's souls, that's the place you're looking into,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha. No, I'm just looking into your soul and your soul only.
Exactly. There we go. So, for the people out there, like, what the heck is Alexander Heating Plumbing? You know, and you guys do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do all the residential, commercial, industrial, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical.
Right. You do a lot. When I went on the site, I was actually like, wow, like they do a ton. And the cool part is, I remember telling you this when I spoke to you for the first time, which was like, for me, and this is a topic we'll get into later, but I went on the site and I was like, oh wow, they do like quality air stuff. And we'll get into that later, but so you guys are in a lot of different fields, but 96 is when you started, right? Now, at least it said
that on the website. About right, yeah.
Said on the website.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so 30 years in business, that's awesome, right? So what made you want to start your own? So you have 30 years of experience in the business. Obviously, you started in 96, like in this field. Like, what got you like to say, I want to start my own business?
So my grandfather was an entrepreneur, and I never thought of starting plumbing, HVAC, and electrical. The funny part is I actually went to Fairleigh Dickinson, as we were talking about, for chemistry.
Okay.
Went to work at Revlon as a lab tech.
Really?
Wasn't quite my cup of tea.
Ah.
So my godfather at the time had a bar and liquor store. He said, you know, I'm getting a little old for this, come and run it, and I'll give you a part of it. Went and ran that with him. It actually built up very nicely. I was into sports, I had blown out my knee, and I said, I can't do it anymore. I'm gonna be incapacitated for months.
Right.
So we had got a couple offers, we sold it.
Okay.
Funny enough, at the time, while I was running the bar and liquor store, I met a plumber. He's like, hey, if you ever get tired of this, you wanna try something new? I tried it and I loved it. You go into different people's houses
right. Every
day. It's always something different and new.
Right.
And I fell in love with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a couple questions. So what did your grandfather do?
He actually owned real estate. He actually started Mel Disco Shoes.
Okay.
Way back when used to be Miles.
Okay.
You're probably too young to remember Miles Shoes.
I was born in 91.
It was Tom McCann?
Yes.
So that, he started that years and years ago, and then he just got into real estate.
Okay. So like agent, like doing, or like
No, like buying investment holdings. He had a couple buildings out in California, a couple in New York.
Cool.
So yeah, it was a lot of travel, but it was
okay,
it was
so you
neat.
Saw him and you're like, wow, this guy's crushing it.
Right.
Grandpa's
crushing it.
Right.
I'm loving the life, so
right.
I'd like
now,
to
Now, what was it at Revlon? Because so many people, and the cool part, so the people that are watching this are typically business owners, or you know, younger people that are in college or out of college looking for personal development to learn from entrepreneurs.
Right.
Now, a lot of people go to college and they never actually utilize what they went to go and spend a fuck ton of money at college for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you went chemistry, went to Revlon. What made you say, you said it wasn't your cup of tea, but can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So we tested the raw chemicals coming in on the trucks before they made the makeup. This was in Edison when Revlon was in Edison off 27.
Okay.
If you stretch, you're allowed to do two tests per day.
Okay.
If you stretched it out, you could maybe make it last till noon, your two tests.
Okay.
Back then there were no iPads, no cell phones, no anything.
Right.
So you sat on your bench and you had nothing, you could bring a magazine in.
So you're bored.
Oh, from 12 to 4, you had nothing to do.
Wow.
So and that was every day, and it was just I can't do that. Just sit there and look at the ceiling. It's just not for me. Just not for me.
So you're okay. So, okay, boom, you got this. But now, obviously, you have an interesting offer, right, from a family member.
Yes.
But did you at any point say, well, you know what, maybe I should take this chemistry thing and do something else, not Revlon?
There were thoughts of that. But while I was talking to him and he offered me part of the business, you know, how do you turn down? You can't turn down a family member offering you part of a business if you can build the business up. So
true. So now,
yeah, something like that gets handed to you, take it and you run.
Yeah, yeah. Opportunities, don't miss that bus.
Exactly.
So now, with that said, though, okay, so boom, you get that offer with the family. Now, this time, are you in college debt still from this point?
No.
Okay, good. So you don't have college at this point.
Yep, college is over, newly married.
Okay.
So it was just a good opportunity,
yeah. So that, it's interesting, though, because a lot of people, we've had people on the podcast where, like, they had, you know, they were married, had a kid on the way, and they, like, left their 9-to-5 and started something.
And scary stuff.
That's effing scary, right? And so yeah. When you were doing that, right, obviously it was already an established business, but did you feel worried at all? Were you like, what if this doesn't work out? I left this career. Like, you know, were you worried about those things?
I wasn't as much worried about that, about having, because I knew there was there was already an established business.
Right.
So I knew there was going to be money coming in, and how much more or how successful it could be relied on me.
Right.
So that part wasn't a concern. And okay. At that time, we didn't have kids, so it was just the right time to
do the
lady. Yes.
Got it. Okay. So now, okay, so plumber comes in, offers you this. So did you reach out to him when you were like sold, or did you just say, I'm going to do that on my own?
Well, he said, if you're ever tired of this, you know, yeah. Why don't you come work for me? So when we sold it, and after my knee was better, I did work for him for a short time. Then I wanted to go into a larger company. So I went to work for a larger company.
Okay.
And I met a couple guys there, and we started our own. And then from there, I said, I want to have my own. So went.
Now, is that still the business, the one you started with those other guys?
Yep.
This is Alexander?
Well, no, that's a different company.
Okay.
And then I started Alexander on my own, just because I wanted at some point, and I'm still friends. I mean, the guy, he's a terrific guy, and I'm still friendly with him. But he wanted just to have a very small company, you know, one or two trucks, which is fine. You know, he's living with his in-laws. I said, no, I'd like to build something up where at some point the tools are not in my hands anymore. And I can,
scale system
scale
processes
it up,
and scales.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So
Now, when it comes to like build, like, so, okay. So you, so when, what year was that you, ballpark, obviously,
oof.
Like that you were like, I'm doing Alexander, like, you know.
93 or 94.
Okay.
I'll say.
Okay. So, my question that we get a lot on here too is, if you were to go back to 93, 94, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself?
Absolutely. I feel I was very lucky.
Right.
I just made the jump at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The only advice I would give somebody before going into partnership with somebody else,
yep,
and this is not a conversation that Ed and I had, is make sure that you both are going in the exact same direction.
Mm.
You both want to start a company, you both want to be your own boss, understood. But if partner A wants to build a $500,000 business, for lack of a better term, and you want to just keep growing it,
right,
and he doesn't want those headaches,
right,
which is great, and you know, God bless.
Yep.
Though that's the only thing. Other than that, I think we really did everything right.
Right.
You know, we were on the same page. It's just when we got to a certain point, he said, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, this is where I want to be, and I wanted to make it bigger.
You wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
Is there any advice you would give yourself? Just, it could be life or business advice, knowing what you know now?
Yeah. I'd give myself some personal advice, but business advice, I've been very lucky and very fortunate.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have both kids in the business.
Yep.
And they're terrific. So, I mean,
That's awesome.
I'm very blessed.
Yeah.
So I can't be.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's that like though, right? So we always get that question too though with family businesses, right? So I in my company, I think we have like four or five different family members, you know, in my company that we have.
Right.
Him being one of them back there. How do you maintain that separation?
It's not easy. We have the conversations a lot. But you know, my son and my daughter, if I'm not in and they have conversations.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, you can be harder on your children.
Of course.
And they can be, you know, if we have a company meeting.
Yeah.
And my son says something to me, it's much easier for him to say something because I'm not just his boss, I'm dad.
Right.
So I'm like, well, just, you're talking to the owner here. Let's try it. And I pull him aside and I try to have that conversation.
Right.
But it's much easier to be harder on your kids.
Right.
So I know that I take it out, you know, take more out on them than I would a regular employee.
Totally. There's a benefit to that too.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because ultimately, I think, you know, at the end of the day, like my first hire family member was my brother. And this is going back, like, I think like 6 years ago. And everybody on the team at the time, you know, was like, oh, like, you know, he's going to get spoiled and stuff. But I was actually the hardest at that point in time on him. I'm more of like a tough love person. And so everyone's like, oh, he's going to be skating on by. And so I made him at the time, because he was young when he started, I made him do an internship unpaid first. And he'd trek up to Red Bank from Brick.
Wow.
And I'd pay him a dollar. I was like, if you want to work here, you have to work here for at least 6 months as an intern, not getting paid, blah, blah, blah. And even to this day, I'm really hard on him. And same with this guy back there and my cousin and everyone else, you know. So I think, you know, for me, like, I've always had that scenario. Actually, my wife is my CFO.
Wow.
So I work with my wife as well. And,
God bless
and
you.
So thank you. Yeah, hey. But, you know, it works really well for us because I got lucky. A lot of the clients, when I first started, I was 17 years old. I was a kid. So, yeah, and you know, a lot of the business owners that I would work with, you know, my first few clients were like the, you know, HVAC guys of the world or like the construction guys, like the people who are cursing and telling you to go fuck off,
right,
whatever. And a lot of them gave me advice because they knew I was young. And they'd be like, you know, listen, don't do this, whatever. And I think the one thing, you said it perfectly, is, you know, it's crystal clear when we're in the office, like, I'm the boss. There's no other way around it. Like, obviously, you can speak your mind professionally.
Right.
But that's that. And we have a good separation, you know, so I think that's why I want to ask. I like to ask that question, too.
For the most part, we do have a good separation and both kids get it. But
yeah.
Listen, do lines get crossed here and there?
It's inevitable.
Absolutely.
You can't help
it's
that.
Absolutely. But again, they can pull me aside and I can pull them aside. And I'm like, here's where we crossed and they both get it. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. There'll be times where in the past, like, my wife would be like, hey, you know, you keep bringing up business stuff at dinner, stop doing it, right? And then now I'll be saying it to her. I'll be like, hey, let's talk about this tomorrow. Like, I don't want to talk about this.
My son and I do it all the time. And even my daughter, who's in the business, says, you know, time out. You know, we're at dinner.
Let's resume this tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Or in the office.
Exactly, right. Can we talk about anything else
but
except for the business?
What has been, so you shared, obviously, you've been fortunate, you've been lucky with the business and stuff. Has there been any challenges you faced that you learned something from over the years? Outside of partnership stuff, whether it's financial or this or that.
Yeah, mostly is with employees. I mean, there's, you know, listen, obviously, you know, depending on the business you're in, there's different, you know, different things you should not do. And I've been also very lucky. I belong to a association, which is the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors.
Okay.
And you have meetings and you have with other owners and you bounce things off what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you. So you miss some potholes that you might have avoided. That you might have gone in, but I was able to avoid because other people, unfortunately, have hit those potholes.
Yeah.
So, and vice versa. And there's times where we borrow equipment from each other.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's
friendly competition. And if I have a piece of equipment that another owner, hey, Ken, I'm going to send one of my guys up to your shop. Can I borrow this?
Yeah.
Vice versa. So
it
works out nicely that way.
And again, 10% of the job.
No. But it works out nicely for that way. And also, you know, in business. But personal with employees, you just learn. You get to read people better as the years go on.
Well, you stop wanting to deal with the bullshit, right? Like, it's, I think the funny part.
Well, that never stops.
Yeah, well, of course. But I'm saying, like, you spot it early on in the process, though. You know, like, when you see somebody's character early on, or if you see, like, you know, just, you know, something where you're like, oh, you know what, this is not good for our culture, or, you know, you'll know things pretty early on after a while, where in the past, like, you might be like, you know what, I need a guy, so I'm willing to bring this person in.
Right.
Just to go, because I need this job. I have a big job going on. I need somebody, whatever, you know, supply, demand's high. I need to get this guy in.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
15, 20 years ago, I would have brought somebody in saying, I have a big job coming. I need a pair of hands.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
No.
It just causes more heartache than anything else. And you have the other, because you have the rest of the crew who are behaving themselves, and you have this guy coming in just causing drama.
Right.
And it's just not worth it.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and again, I think every business owner that's been in business for a couple years or a couple decades, you start to learn that. And it's funny, as a younger entrepreneur, I remember thinking of, like, you know, I want all these employees, I want to have this huge company, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've built it to that. I have your mentality. Like, I always want to keep growing. I don't want, like, a set, like, I don't want to stay somewhere.
Right.
But I remember how I used to be a lot more excited about growing the team than I am now based on those different inner dynamics.
Right, you become more cautious.
Totally. You know, there's all these different things that come into when you have different personalities and this and that, whatever. So I definitely understand that.
Yeah. You can't avoid all the different personalities. And right now, all my crew right now, every one of them are great. I love the crew I have now.
Yeah, same here.
But is it still sometimes running a kindergarten?
Of course.
You're never going to avoid it. But again, my crew, I can't. They're awesome.
Yeah. Is there a specific, like, does Alexander have a culture that you guys try to strive to keep, you know, going?
Yes. So obviously I'm a little on the older side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how many people call us back and say, I can't believe you called us right back.
Mm.
in a contractor's world to call people back right away.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
People are shocked, and it's amazing to me. I said, well, why wouldn't we call you back?
Right.
That you have no idea how many times we call people, and a day later, 2 days later, the people call back and say, this is Joe Schmo, Plumbing and Heating. You called us a couple days ago looking for help?
Yeah.
You call the people back, they're appreciative.
Right.
So it would be nice to go back to the old times of, you know, how much it costs to send a plumber out to somebody's house.
Right.
That's gone. But yeah,
it's gone.
We have people in the office, and every one of my guys, so in the office from 8 to 4, and then after that it goes to an answering service,
okay.
And we call back right away.
Right.
I mean, people are like, I just hung up the phone, I can't believe you called.
Right.
I make sure all the guys do that.
Yeah.
And the girls. It's just, people are calling for a reason, call them back. It's totally. It's not a hard concept.
Yeah. Well, what I love, though, is that you guys have the answer. Is that 24-7?
24-7.
Yeah, it's good, because obviously you guys are a 24-7, you know, company. Now, talk to me about that, right? So, over the past, you know, 15 plus years that we've been in business, we work with a lot of different contractors, you know, in this space that are 24-7 this, whatever.
Yeah.
But what we've seen historically is that they'll advertise 24-7, but they're not. Like, you know, you call them in the middle of the night, you got your you know, pipe bursted, and you're calling these companies and they're not able to get out there, right?
Right.
How do you stay competitive, and what is your response times on 24-7?
Response time at 2 o'clock in the morning is the exact same as at 5 o'clock.
So now,
obviously there's not somebody in my office answering after 4
right,
p.m.,
right.
But the answering service texts us immediately.
Yep.
And within 3 minutes, most times we call the people back.
Right.
I mean, even at 2 o'clock in the morning when I call people back, they're like, I just hung up the phone.
Right, right.
Because we have a very good answering service, and it happens right away.
Right. And now, but our guy, so you're getting guys out there in the middle of the night.
Oh, absolutely.
Got it.
100%. Okay.
Now, do you see, so now let's go to employees, right? So the labor market, it's something that is constantly, like before COVID, I feel like there were the issues of like just the millennial and Gen Z people, like they don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to work all the time. You know, they want to be rich right now. They want to get paid $1 million an hour.
Right.
Right. But what have you seen, like, in your world with, because what I've noticed, and I've heard a lot throughout the, you know, different states that we're in with guys like you, where it's like, oh, I can't keep people, because, like, when we call them for 24-hour service, like, they don't want to do 24-hour service. They don't want to do middle night service. How do you keep that going? Based on the fact that the labor market is so tough with that.
It's unbelievably tough. you honestly have to get the right guys. Just, like you said, you know, you'll have guys that'll come and say, what do you mean I have to be on call?
Right.
Say, well, we're a service company.
Right.
This is how much you're going to get paid.
Right.
If you work for us, but we are 24 hours.
Right.
So my guys are on call, depending on who's on call. It's once every 6 weeks, you're on call for an entire week, and then you're done for 6 weeks.
Okay.
They get paid you know, they get paid a bonus for being on call, because I know it's a huge pain in the ass.
It is, right.
You know, you want to go out to dinner, you want to go away for the weekend, you can't.
Right.
So they get paid a bonus, and they get paid time and a half when they go out.
Right.
So you pay them well, and you just make sure you have the right people to do it and the right attitude.
Yeah, and that's not easy to find those.
It's not easy to find.
There's a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. There's a lot of service companies that are not 24 hours because they don't want to deal with the headache.
But most of them advertise it. Because they want the calls.
Well, because they have an answering service that, you know, you call the company and they'll get answered, but they're not going to go out to you, and they're not going to call back till the next day.
Right.
Yeah. But again, that all goes back to you know, to service. And all my guys, if I call a customer back that I recognize their name, I'll call them and say, yes, we just spoke to Spencer on the phone. He already called us. He's on his way. Or John. And again, all my guys have just been terrific with that.
That's good. I'm really glad to hear that, though, because again, it's so, so tough.
It's tough to find them. And when you find them, you hold on to them. And the way you hold on to them is you treat them well and you pay them well.
You have to.
You absolutely have to.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Now, where do you see Alexander Plumbing going? Like obviously, you know, the next, you scale it to this point. What does the future look like, you know, let's say the next 5 years to 10 years?
Well, we want to keep building, and we want to keep building the brand. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a conversation we had before.
Yep.
I'm going to slowly start to ease my way out and give it to, you know, my son and daughter so they can continue it.
Yep.
I would love the legacy to continue. I think it will.
Yep.
But yeah, so, we'd like to just keep building it and
growing it. And how does that feel for you?
I mean, I feel really honored that he wants to pass it on to both of us. Like I said, it's kind of, I've gone back and forth with it because obviously this wasn't like what I thought about doing, but now being in the office and doing it since I graduated, I really did fall in love with it. So it's definitely something I'm honored that he would want to give to both of us. And kind of like you spoke about earlier, you're kind of crazy for someone to hand you a multi-million dollar business and be like, no thanks.
Yeah, sorry, I don't want to do it. Well, you see, but you'd be surprised. You see a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people be like, no, I'd rather go do X, and it blows my effing mind.
I can't tell you how many companies fail when it goes from one generation to the other.
Oh my
Because the next generation, like you said, they don't want to work as hard. They don't want to. They don't want to put the time in. They feel, you know, they feel like they should just get it and not have to work for it.
Right.
And that's why, you know, that's why I feel lucky is, but both my son and daughter, they're like, you know what? If we want to play hard, we got to work hard, and they both have that attitude. And it's. Like I said,
let's keep that knocking.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I give a lot of respect there because, you know what, it's funny, we're in a time right now, so it's interesting that that we're even talking about this, where a lot of, like, the, you know, business owners that are in your age bracket right now are in the next 5 to 10 years looking to retire.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are looking to sell their businesses or whatever, pass it on. And it's such a golden opportunity, right? To be able to be like, wow, you know, because for you to start from scratch to get to whatever point the company's at
now. I don't know how
now,
anybody would even do it nowadays.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, you have the 30-year rep, which is great, right? So, like, and that's huge.
The first 10 or 15 years was just, I was out. I'd get home, you know, just ready to sit down, ready to eat dinner, just change from my work clothes to sweatpants.
Yep.
Here's the phone. Go back on work clothes. Go back out.
Right.
You know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
But building it. And now I just.
When you're building like that, you know what's so interesting, Ken? It's so before COVID, so when I met my wife, she was initially working at iHeartRadio in the city.
Okay.
And so but I was always going, right? So like before COVID, people actually wanted to meet in person, right?
Right.
So I was like up in the city, up in Connecticut, flying here, flying there. It was always constantly go, 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 go. And it was rarely ever like I'm with her or whatever. And like I gave her a lot of credit because like luckily both of her parents are entrepreneurs too. And but in the past it didn't work with my other relationships, right? Because it was like I never see you, like whatever. You're always on the phone. You're always texting. You're always this. You're always emailing. And so up until COVID, like I would leave the house probably close to like 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever it was. I wouldn't be back home until like 8 or 9 o'clock. Yeah. And that's when we'd have dinner. Like she'd have to have dinner at 9 o'clock with me.
Yeah.
And so then COVID happens and it's like a totally different mindset for me because then it was like I'm stuck home with her. I had like, it was weird. I had the feeling of what it felt like to be retired. Like I never want to retire because obviously I have my own businesses.
Right.
But it's like, you know, most people when they do retire and they're high performers, they get depressed because they're like, I'm used to being on the phones, working the deals, calling people, fixing problems, and then you just stop.
And I don't
it's hard.
See me stopping.
Yeah, we joke around. I'm like, he's not gonna handle.
Well, he's not, yeah. I don't think you. I don't think we can. When you're built with that in your DNA, you can't.
Yeah,
stop.
I like to. You know, again, you know, go down to maybe Florida for a couple of weeks, come back.
Right.
Yeah, you because know, again, I'd miss the kids also. Right. Besides, you know, and I have two grandkids too now. So.
Oh, congratulations!
Yes, they're
That's
awesome.
That's amazing.
Oh,
what's the genders?
Two boys.
Two
they're
boys.
Twins. They're not identical, but they're two twins.
So I have twins on the way.
Wow.
I
Look
do.
You. And when?
April, they're due.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We don't know yet. And I have a 10-month-old at home. So 302. It's fun.
You're a brave man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But to your point, I think that's the thing is like, so I during COVID, I was going crazy. Like I, for a point, I've never felt depressed in my life. I'm like a high energy, like very big on personal development. Like, and I'm sitting home and I'm like, you know, you can't leave the house. You can't go here. You can't go talk to people, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going nuts. But then I realized like, you know what though? I would always ask. So anytime I had a milestone point in my life or whether I was getting married or having a kid or whatever, I would always ask somebody who's been there a question or advice. And so if I met you, you know, when I met my wife, I'd be like, you know, hey, what's your advice, you know, for this or for being a parent or whatever. And so I would ask all of my entrepreneur like clients or mentors like, hey, how do you find a better balance? Because like I never see my wife. Right, I'm never home. Like you know, and the divorce rate's super high when you're a high performing you know CEO or business owner.
Yeah.
So I did not, I was like refused to be that statistic. And not that my wife was ever alluding to that, but like it was just like I never saw her. So I would ask everybody, hey, what, like, how do you find the balance? There is no balance. That's what everybody would tell me. There is no balance.
I was just about to say there is no balance.
Right.
There is none. There's, put in the time now so you can have it later.
Right, right.
Other than that, there's mm-hmm. there's no magic answer.
Right, and that's what I would get. And I remember, you know, every industry is so different, right? Like,
yeah.
like you said, you come home, you have to get changed again, leave. And the one thing that I never like looked at until COVID was, I don't have to go fly to California and meet this guy, right? Or this girl. Like I could just jump on a Zoom or Google whatever, and it worked. And so, because my at the time my executive coach was like, listen, he's like, you know, what's your goals at the time? I think it was like 20, whatever. And I was like, you know, my goal is to spend more time with my wife and start to have a family and stuff.
Right.
But I was like, I don't want to have a family if I'm not there. You know, I had some challenges. My father growing up, he had alcohol issues, this and that, whatever. So that's what forced me to grow up like early, right?
Right,
I'm the oldest of five. My dad had that challenge. And, you know, they were going to lose their house, my parents.
Wow.
And I asked him what I could do. And he was like, nothing, pretty much. You know, I was helping them pay the bills with whatever job I had.
Right.
But it wasn't enough. So that's how I started Adapting Social, because I was like, let me figure out what I can do to make some money.
Yeah.
And I wound up getting them out of that situation.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the point, though, was that his inadequacies, you know, were things that I didn't want to bring to my kids.
Right.
Yeah. But my coach said to me, he said, listen, he said, you know, you can subscribe to what everybody's telling you, or you can, you know, make up your mind and say, I'm not going to do that, and I'm still going to build a big business. Because
right.
that's important to me. Like, it's like my core identity. Like, I want to grow and scale the things I'm involved in. Anyway, because of COVID, I've been able to find that balance, you know, and
yeah,
what I call harmony.
Terrific.
Harmony, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's different, though. Like it's like now I'm home. I have my son, obviously, and stuff, and I have two twins on the way.
Right.
But, you know, I see my kids. They say that. So you're like my dad and like your age, the people in your age on, like my grandfather and those people, they were always working, right? So like they were never home. They had jobs where you had to leave the house. Right now, they say our generation has 30 to 40% more time with our kids because typically they're remote or you don't have them at the same time.
Right. Most of your generation, but, you know, perfect example is my son.
Yeah.
You know, my business, you can't go on a Zoom.
Mm-mm.
So he's right now struggling with that. He's like, you know, I don't want to be away from
my kids,
us, as much as you were. I know you're building the business. I understand
right.
that, but
right.
I'm trying to not do that.
It's
tough.
It's so freaking tough, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's still those scenarios. But now, with that said, so it's a good point. Now, did you find yourselves in position, like, did your kids have any resentment towards you early on because you were never around? Like, did you feel anything like that?
I didn't as much, because I think I understood it a little bit
right.
more. Just, you know, he's working, he's building a business.
Yeah.
You know,
well, how much older is your brother?
He's 5 years older than
okay.
me.
Okay.
I think it hit Spencer. I think it hit Spencer a little harder than it hit
yeah.
her.
A little bit older, understand
yeah.
what's going on.
Right.
So, like, and that's tough, man.
And I also wasn't, when, you know, when he was very young,
yeah.
I was the business.
Right.
It was me and me alone. So, you know, I'd go out again. I would put in, you know, 80, 90 hours a week.
Right.
By the time, you know, she was old enough to start understanding, it had cut down. You know, I had a couple employees by then, and things were a little easier.
Right.
It wasn't all on me.
Right.
So he took the brunt of that.
What's your son's name?
Spencer.
I was hoping his name was Ken too. I was like, you are George Foreman.
Sorry. Sorry.
Kidding. But no, anyway, but you know what? And I want to speak to that, because I think, you know, one of the things that most like just entrepreneurs battle is that feeling, though. Like, I'm sure you felt there were days where you're like, damn, like I'm missing this party, or I'm going to be in and out with this birthday or Christmas or this or that.
Yeah.
Which was, I didn't have a kid, but like with my wife, that was always me. Like, you know, I'm here. I can't make this birthday. I can't do this thing with your family. You know, and you're missing all these things. You feel guilty, you know, while you're also just
I missed
like,
some of her dance recitals. I had to take phone calls during her dance recitals. I'd be,
right.
you know, excuse me, leave the auditorium, right. take a phone call.
Right, yeah. right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what I love, though? It's so tough. But, like, obviously, you said now Spencer and Kendall understand it when they're older, right? Because
yeah.
now it's like you have the ability to have a business pass along, right? If you weren't building those things, you know, boom, there you go.
Right.
But so what a difficult thing. Now, I want to ask you a question, though. So speaking of kid stuff, right? So this is a question for me, but also I got three questions in for this specifically.
Okay.
How do you, like, what advice do you have for giving early parents or new parents, right, the ability to essentially, like, when you're a business owner, right, like I grew up in a household where, you know, very lower to middle class. You know, my dad's in construction and my mom's a stay-at-home mom, five kids. And so like we weren't crushing it, right? So it wasn't like, hey, I got no a lot, can't afford this, can't do this, whatever.
Right.
Where like, you know, like my kids are not gonna experience that. Like the complete opposite of that.
Right.
But because of my nose all the time, it made me really hungry to not have to deal with that and to build a life that I don't deal with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So instinctually, you know, you get programmed either, you know, you're given things all the time or you can't get things, so you wanna go get them.
Right.
What advice do you have on, like, how did you and your wife raise your kids, or your ex-wife raise your kids, to have that mentality of, like, being a go-getter? Because if Spencer and, you know, obviously Kendall are in the business, Spencer's still out there, he wants to see his family more, so he's out there grinding, technically, you know, because most people that have parents that do well typically don't have a good work ethic, right? Now, how did you train that into your kids, you and your ex?
I think part of it is, comes with the child. There's no ingraining it into them.
It's like who they
are. You could say, you know, you could beat it into their head for 20 years.
Right.
If he doesn't want to do it or she doesn't want to do it, they're just not going to. They have to have it in, you know, ingrained part of them also.
Right.
But yeah, you know, luckily they both grew up, you know, Kendall could answer this. They were very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have to say no a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
But they also saw me working those 80 and 90 mm-hmm. hours so that we didn't have to say no a lot.
Right.
So, you know, my son says, he goes, you know, if I want to have the nicer things,
right,
if I want to play hard, I got to work hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, both of them, they just, you know, they recite that. And
yeah.
it's just what they know that they have to do.
Right.
If I want a nice car, if I want to have a larger house, if I want to be able to go on a nice vacation,
yeah,
I need to put the work in to get those things. It's
yeah.
not going to just fall into my lap.
Totally.
So I just, that's why, you know, one of the things why I say I'm so lucky is they both somehow got that and it just... it clicked.
Wow, that's very.
And
very
a lot of it is luck. I mean, I really believe it because I have friends who are also you know, successful, and their kids it doesn't click.
Right, different outcome there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because you'll see it go both ways. I like to ask that question to parents that have businesses because there's really no one way that it goes.
It's not
universal, like, you know, boom, here's the book. Yeah,
right. Here's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So
if you follow it, you're good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no.
But
that doesn't happen.
I had a client tell me once that he said the second his daughter developed her personality when she was two, he said she's never changed since. And it's like you have that in you based on your point. Like
right.
they're going to be who they're going to be, right? Now... last few questions as we wrap up here.
Sure.
You know, what would you say your, like, beginning, and maybe it's changed now, I'm sure these things always change. When you were first starting early days, what was your why? What was your purpose? Like, when you were getting up every day, doing these hard jobs, going late at night, like, what was, like, the big goal for you?
To build the business and mm-hmm. to have a business to give to the kids.
Right.
And again, to work hard, to have the nicer things, to be able to go on the vacations,
right.
to have the nicer things in life and to work hard for it.
Right. So it's like your family and then your lifestyle.
Yeah, I saw how my grandfather was. I said, this is what I'd like to, how I'd like to live and
yeah.
what I'd like to give to my kids. So. Mm.
And do you have a purpose or why?
So yeah, I think I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Everything. But,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, kind of going back to what he was talking about, just seeing him, you know, work hard. I mean, I definitely grew up a very privileged lifestyle.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of the no's,
you know,
definitely. But I knew that came from hard work. It didn't come from nothing. It didn't come from,
right.
especially my generation, on sitting on your ass and not doing anything, just expecting everything to come to you.
Right. I love that. You know, you were
you
able
can't
to
teach
see
that.
It. Yeah, you can't.
No,
you can't. And it's cool though. And you think about it, oh my goodness. I always forget the name of this damn show. I haven't really watched the full thing. You ever see the show Entourage?
Yes.
Or heard of it? So there's a couple different, but the guy Ari and his crazy sharp things he's always saying.
Yes.
And he's in the middle of a therapy session with his wife. And she's complaining how he's always working. And so he answers a call in the therapy session because he's got to take it.
I just saw that. I think it was part of the movie. The actual Entourage movie. I think it was.
You want the beach house at this place? You want this? You want
that?
Right. Well, I got to take this call.
Right, yeah.
But it's cool, though, that your kids saw that and, you know, and obviously, you know, have that in them where it's like, okay, you know, you got that beach house, you know, that now, obviously, now you guys are down here because of the hard work that you put in.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go down to the last two questions, okay, before obviously we plug you guys and you say, you know, the website and all that good stuff. So there's a, we'll call it a hard one and a medium one, right?
Fair enough.
Which one do you want first?
You pick.
You got to pick. It's the, that's the rules.
Easy.
The easy one, okay. So the, is there, and actually in some cases people think this is harder, but maybe it's not. But
see, it was a trick question.
Yeah, but it depends on the person. But so is there a quote or an adage that maybe has been in your family or something you've said or you heard or you could think about when it comes to resilience and persistence?
When it comes to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't take things, things don't always go smooth.
Right.
You can't take things personally.
Right.
It's get, you know, get to the job, get it done. The customer, whether you think they're right or not, the customer is always right, as you know, the old saying, as the old saying goes.
The one I had one.
As the old saying goes, the customer is always right. And just treat the customer as if they are your brother or your sister or your parent.
Right.
Sit there, if you sit and listen to what they have to say and how they want it fixed or what the situation is, you can't go wrong.
Right.
You just can't go wrong. And it, that's, you know, thank God I've had customers for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, too, that I think we, like, are really proud about, that I still talk to customers every day. And, you know, obviously we've gotten bigger since you first started. And they're like,
oh, she talked, yeah. So you'll talk to customers so that when you were 4 years old, they're like, oh, Kendall, I remember you when your father said you were, you know, just coming out of diapers. So it's,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I've been very fortunate to have customers for many years. And it's
that's
just,
cool.
Yeah, they still, you know, they still call on the cell phone. Hi, Ken, how are you? So, it's terrific. So, yeah,
still picks up the phone. So,
right.
You have to.
Yeah.
Right, you have to. Now, the second one is more about legacy, right? So, a lot of times we think about where our feet are planted today and onward, like, you know, what we want our legacy to be. It's more of an exercise, but I like to look at it and reverse engineer the process, right?
Okay.
So, instead of us thinking about it that way, so. If you were to think about the one thing that's going to supersede your kids, their kids, everybody forward, which is your gravestone, right? Now, of course, we're going to paraphrase this, right? I don't expect you to have the exact what's going to say here.
Right.
Here lies, but...
Well, she's going to do one of the eulogies. My son's going to do the other one, so she can answer that also. But so
you have this already mapped out, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
So, right,
at my age, you guys, these are the things you think about.
Right. So what, again, paraphrasing, what would that tombstone say, first and foremost, and then secondly, what do you think? Of course, she's sitting right here, so we'll ask her after we ask you.
Okay.
What do you think your kids are gonna like say about who you were? So we'll start with the gravestone first.
Okay, gravestone. Hopefully, will say loved by many.
Okay.
I am very, maybe overly loyal.
Okay.
But loyal to the end.
Okay.
So maybe it says that, loyal to the end.
Right. Loyal to the end.
Right.
Okay. And so what would your kids say about you?
Good question for them. I think they would probably say loved him dearly. I'm hoping they'd say that. And always put who he loved first.
Mm. So this is the first one that we're ever having, actually, which I'm really excited about, that a kid is here with when I ask that question.
I would, you know, I think my daughter would agree, I would, in a second, throw my body in front, as they, you know, the paraphrase, throw your body in front of a train for either one of my kids.
Yeah.
In a half a heartbeat.
Yep. Right.
So I think that they both know that.
Right.
To me, which is the most important.
Of course. Right. They know that. They know that.
Right. And that goes throughout the entire life, not just, you know, for this. It's whatever you need. You're first,
right.
And
yeah,
that's the end of it. That's the end of it.
Yeah, just boom.
Yep.
Kids first.
No other explanations needed. Just you are whatever you need, whenever you need.
Yeah. So Kendall's like, what the fuck did I sign up for? So now, of course, paraphrasing, is he accurate? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think.
You don't have to go and say the whole thing, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean, I think he's pretty accurate. And I mean, I think I try to tell him a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, he's always been hardworking.
Yeah.
I think one of the things he's really good at is prioritizing, like, us always.
Right.
I mean, even with him, you know, working all different crazy hours, I always knew that if I needed him, like, he would be there,
right.
No question.
Right.
So I definitely think he would be hardworking, devoted, but I mean, I tell him all the time.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about my childhood.
Yeah.
I had a great childhood. You know, he wasn't there, you know, he did miss out on a lot of stuff.
Right. But he's building.
Reason.
He was building,
you know,
right.
It wasn't just, I didn't feel like being there.
Right.
It was good reason.
Right.
And now seeing it all, being older and being in the business, I get it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm hardworking.
Yeah. What did you want to do, though? Remember, you were like, I didn't see myself doing this.
So
what did you want
to
do?
Yeah. So I actually went to FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, in New York.
Yeah.
And I actually got my degree in fashion merchandising.
Yeah.
So kind of the business end.
Right.
I fell in love with that. Again, I always got from him. I always understood the business.
Right.
And everything. And I loved just entrepreneurship in general.
Yeah.
And kind of when the whole world shut down. I was just graduating.
Right.
And I was trying to get a couple jobs in the city, and I actually got the jobs. And then the next day, I get a call saying, sorry, you know, the lady you're going to work with, we don't have any more.
The whole company shut down.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Within 2 weeks, she got hired and then got a phone call.
Yeah.
When she was about to start, the company shut down. Gone.
Yeah, two major.
But it worked. It worked great for me. Yeah, I was saying, it was a good thing it happened.
Yeah. So I kind of was one of those things where I'm like, well, again, you know, I'm not like the usual person. I'm not just going to sit on my ass and not do anything and just
right.
say, oh, well, it's not my fault. You know, the world shut down.
Right.
So I kind of actually, real estate, I always kind of had an interest in. So they recently let classes go online to take your course. So I got my real estate. I'm like, it's always something good to have on the side.
Can't hurt.
Yeah. So I started taking marketing, you know, helping him out, doing that more full time, and then I also got my, you know, real estate license.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess, over at Alexander Plumbing, it's like The Sopranos. You know, every time you think you're out, it pulls you back in.
Yeah, exactly.
FIT couldn't
do it.
Right.
You are so right.
So that's
Kendall,
really cool.
This person didn't show up at the office today.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, I'm on my way.
How many times
do
you get that call?
Well, guys, this is really cool. It's really great to meet you guys in person, put the faces to the name.
Thank you for your time.
And so this is where we plug you guys, right? So can you tell, you know, the people out there, I'm going to have you look at the camera there.
We're going to have her look at the camera since she's our marketing guru.
Yeah, so where people can find you, you know, website, socials, all good stuff.
Yeah, we have our website, alexanderplumbingheatingandcooling.com.
Yep.
I mean, we do have our Facebook, we do have our Instagram and Twitter, but I mean, the biggest thing is that you're going to be seeing our trucks all around. That's
right.
Really where you're going to find us.
Yep.
You know, we really go anywhere from Central Jersey, we come down here. I mean, we really go everywhere.
Somerset, cool. County, Middlesex, Monmouth, Ocean.
Good.
So we cover a large area.
Yeah.
Guys are driving a lot.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
But
well,
yeah.
When business calls, you got to answer, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been awesome. You know, and again, guys, if you're watching this, definitely go give them a look, Alexander Plumbing, and you guys do a ton, right? I didn't get into the questions I want to ask, but about the clean air stuff, but I'll ask you that. You know, we'll have you guys back on regardless.
That sounds great.
But again, thank you guys for your time.
I
believe time is one asset we don't get back. So you guys being here today means the absolute world. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.